If the world seems to be ever more chaotic, you are not imagining it. Getting your financial affairs in order is essential. That is what a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap will do for you. Combining lifetime income with Stanford University recommended RIGs and tactical portfolio strategies to help you address inflation, we can help you weather this instability. Go to csrp.info for an appointment. And remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this pre-Christmas edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Let's dive right in with Insane Thing number 5 that happened this week. So this week, a full week after John Kirby, the White House spokesperson, came out and lied his rear end off, assuring us all that there really were no mystery drones. It was just our imagination. We're seeing planes and lights, and we're just really confused. U.S. Marine Corps officials admitted that 6 drones had violated restricted airspace over Camp Pendleton in California. That's a U.S. Department of Defense training base. In other words, one part of the government, the White House, is saying, what are you talking about? There's no drones. Another part of the government's like, dude, there's drones. The big kind. The SUV size kind. The kind you can't buy on Amazon if you're just, you know, a hobbyist. That was followed by another bombshell. Broken by the New York Post. Headline, drones spotted near at least 17 military bases located next to Chinese-owned land in the U.S. Now, folks, this is wild, okay? The New York Post reports there are a total of 19 military bases in the U.S. next to Chinese-owned land. The drone incursions were at 17 of them. Again, there are a total of 420 military bases in the U.S. All of this land that's next to these military bases is farmland bought up by the Chinese. And the New York Post reports it's either members of the Chinese Communist Party or people associated with members of the Chinese Communist Party who've bought this land. This is a different thing than the more explainable drones that we keep hearing about flying over New Jersey and New York, because it turns out UK Daily Mail broke the story. We actually had it before they did on the podcast. But it turns out that the federal government has massive contracts for drone development in both New Jersey and New York. In fact, New York has a 50-mile stretch where these drones are regularly tested. So seeing them in the air randomly, not all that surprising, but it's the drones over the military bases that are different. That's according to the New York Post, but it's also according to Representative Michael McCaul, head of the Foreign Affairs Committee, who made the distinction this week.
We need to identify who's behind these drones. And Secretary Mayorkas has talked about this. That's fine. But the ones flying over our military bases, by definition, I would say are adversarial. We need to know who is behind that because I believe they're spy drones. And the PRC, Chinese, Communist China, is very good at this stuff. And we know they bought land around military bases. This would be very consistent with their policy over the last couple of years.
So with the lies of last week by the Biden administration not working, they've moved into a new phase, announcing that because of the drones, they're temporarily restricting airspace in 27 critical areas to prevent the drones from flying. And guess where those critical areas are? In New Jersey and New York. Well, how about those military bases? How about restricting the airspace around them, say, over the Chinese-owned farmland? Nope. Of course not. Because then the Democrats' greatest ally and America's greatest enemy, China, wouldn't be able to spy on us or do whatever they're doing. Folks, this is the balloon all over again, with the Biden administration, for whatever reason, lying to buy time for incursions into our airspace. And they're point-blank refusal to shoot these down. So after a month of these things being spotted and being in the news, and after more than a week of lying about it, they finally restrict the airspace, but not where the most concerning drone incursions are, again, around our military bases. Now, it's already restricted airspace over the military bases. But if you really want to stop the Chinese or whoever this is, you restrict the airspace around it. They're not. Which means they're fine with letting these into this airspace for whatever reason. The whole thing just gets more bizarre by the minute. I can't wait for Donald Trump to take office. Insane thing number four, murder. It's really hip, as long as the person doing it is good looking. Like UnitedHealthcare CEO killer Luigi Mangione. I'll let Chris Rock explain.
Everybody's fixated on how good looking this guy looks. If he looked like Jonah Hill, no one would care. They'd already given him a chair already. He'd be dead, okay? But he actually killed a man, a man. A man with a man with kids, man. I mean...
Yeah, well, apparently Gen Z doesn't care. According to a survey by Emerson College of 1,000 registered voters, the biggest bunch of them, 41% of 18 to 29-year-olds, believe the murder of Brian Thompson was either, get this, somewhat or completely acceptable? Ha! What? Just 33% say, no, that's not right. It was completely unacceptable. Another 19% say they're neutral on the question. Nah, kill him, don't kill him, I don't care. Folks, I hate to say that the New York Times got something right because it almost never happens, but they got this right in their headline. This guy, Luigi Mangione, is becoming a folk hero. This is exactly how Marxist revolutions start, with guerrilla warfare and targeted assassinations like this where the assassins become popular. In fact, it's exactly how the Russian Revolution started. Now, Rasmussen Reports finds that the overall numbers aren't as scary. Like for the general population, when you look at all voters, only 27% say the CEO's murder was understandable. But still, folks, can you imagine a country run by those in that 18 to 29-year-old group? Yeah, he's a CEO. He's associated with capitalism. Ha! Kill him. Among the general population, by the way, 61% of likely U.S. voters say murder is not the way to go. It's a cowardly act of terrorism. Here's a scary thing, though. Another 12% aren't sure. So we're talking 39% of voters either say murder is an understandable reaction or they're not too sure. Holy cow. Folks, this is exactly how you get copycats and a movement starts. That had liberal Democrat New York Mayor Eric Adams, of all people, warning this generation is radicalized. Yeah, I know. His party did it all throughout their education.
Think about the shooter. Ivy League, grew up in an affluent household. His manifesto clearly is showing some signs of hating. Our children are being radicalized. I said this over and over again. And everybody's like, you know, what are you talking about, Eric? And, you know, our children are being radicalized to hate the America, to hate the country that put them where they are.
Insane thing number three. Folks, at this point, if they tell you it's a right-wing conspiracy theory, pretty much you could take it to the bank. Yeah, all you got to do is wait 6 months, 9 months, maybe a year, and then the liberal mainstream media will be like, hey, guess what? It's true. Yep, and this one was too. Somebody must have flipped a light switch and told these people it's okay, because simultaneously in the same week, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times came out and said, hey, guess what? Yeah, Joe Biden, he was senile since week one of his presidency. He was never running the country. Seriously, do they get permission to say this stuff simultaneously? And it always goes the same way. It's called a conspiracy theory, or they just don't admit it's true. until it's no longer needed to achieve a political aim, till it doesn't matter anymore. And this is the part that always floors me. And I've told you this before. They come out and admit they got away with it. It's almost as if they want you to demoralize you and say, well, you know what? The next thing we call a right-wing conspiracy, you can scream all you want. We'll mock you as an idiot. And then you know what? We'll get away with it. And we'll admit it at the end. And we'll just go on to the next big lie. Whatever the case, nobody nailed this better than the UK Daily Mail. Headline: the terrifying scandal is that Biden was never president, they say in all caps. They say Americans were lied to for years by the Democrat Party machine. And what we're learning is terrifying, they write. Infuriating, an unacceptable abuse of power and usurpation of the presidency itself by a nameless, faceless cohort. He said, will we ever know who the conspirators are? The UK Daily Mail writes and asks the question, who was running the country? Folks, this was the headline article. That this country has become the punchline to a very, very large joke. But seriously, the stories are kind of terrifying. I mean, you've got staff members here sitting in on high-level security briefings because Joe just couldn't do it, making presidential-level decisions because, again, Joe just couldn't do it. Either that or somebody's telling him what to do. So who was making these decisions? It's kind of a fascinating question, one for years on conservative talk radio, where, by the way, this was entirely knowable. We had all the video. We had all the audio. Heck, we were saying he was too demented to hold when he was running his campaign from the basement. But of course, we were relentlessly mocked, and information about it on at least some social media outlets was censored. So you get what you get. Anyway, according to the UK Daily Mail, even when there were serious national security situations, one security advisor had said he had meetings scheduled because the president was having, quote, a bad day, unquote. And those bad days were a common occurrence. So we ask again, the UK Daily Mail writes, just who has been running the country for the past 4 years? As that live TV debate proved beyond a doubt, it sure as hell wasn't Joe. And it's been so obvious, not just to us, but to the entire world. Consider, they write, that not even Biden's top cabinet members from the very beginning had access to him on matters of national security, the economy, or international crises. So in the end, I guess, Joe Biden was little more than an aging corpse-like avatar for whoever actually ran the country. Insane thing number two, and this I'm so excited about. I'll call it cat turd crushes Congress, because that's what happened, literally. And the Democrats get what's happening, and they're in a frothing panic. This week, dirtbag Republican Speaker Mike Johnson went behind closed doors with the Democrats and let them write whatever the hell they wanted into this appropriations bill. Johnson had months to put this thing together, but he waited till the absolute last minute, thought he'd drop it and then hold the vote within 24 hours so no one could see what was in it and get the Democrats whatever they wanted. And Mike Johnson's been doing this for well over a year now. For the last year, he's passed bills with a majority of Democrat votes and a handful of Republicans. So he didn't give a damn what the Republicans thought about it. And apparently it didn't dawn on the man that things have changed since this last election. Okay, among the unpaid for monstrosities in here that had to be printed and borrowed for us to afford, an $850,000 gay senior rest home, $15 million to pay for Egyptian college tuitions, yeah, in Egypt, $400,000 for a gay activist group to teach elementary kids about being transgender, $400,000 for a group to give clothes to teens to help them hide their gender at school. Johnson originally told the GOP that this would be a 30-page bill. Again, it ended up being 1,500 pages. And look, the last 2 years that Donald Trump was in office, Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, and he let them print us into oblivion. A purely temporary 40% expansion in federal funding due to COVID. And it was supposed to, you know, die back. We weren't supposed to continue it. Well, then the Republicans took over Congress in 2022, and Kevin McCarthy snuck over to the White House to kind of deal with the Democrats. He was the Republican speaker to lock it in. He rightfully lost his speakership after that betrayal, but nobody's ever cut a damn thing. Worse yet, It didn't matter one iota that the Republicans had won the control of Congress in 2022, at least control of the House anyway, because they just continued passing Nancy Pelosi's budget, calling it a CR, continuing resolution, which means you just keep re-upping it. We didn't even put our priorities in. It wasn't even ours. Nancy Pelosi, hell, she might as well have been Speaker. It would have been indistinguishable. So this is, this week, the first time there's ever been any serious opposition to any of that. Mike Johnson was just doing what he'd been doing for the last year. He apparently wasn't aware that after this election, things were going to change. Now, keep in mind the relationship that Johnson has with the Democrats. He is essentially their speaker. And you can see that if you look over the last year, because here's what happened. He did resist for about 6 months. But then after that, he started passing bills stuffed with their stuff, the continuing resolutions for Nancy Pelosi, with almost all the Democrats voting with him and just, you know, a couple handfuls of Republicans. Well, when the Republicans tried to recall him and end his speakership, the Democrats saved him in a party line vote. So he answers to them, and he apparently missed the significance of the election, thought he could keep doing this. Now, my question is this. If you've watched at all what Mike Johnson did in the last year, as surely Trump has, why didn't Trump or J.D. Vance or somebody call him up and go, hey, bud, what's in this bill you're working on behind closed doors with the Democrats? Don't embarrass me. That's the part I don't get. Trump should have stopped this, should have told him no way. But the story has a very happy ending. One, I've only seen one other time before in the 20 years I've been doing this. That was during amnesty when we mobbed the White House switchboard and eventually blocked it. And that's this. The people this week were the most powerful force in Congress. Now, normally, Johnson's trick would work. It dates all the way back to Nancy Pelosi herself. We got to pass it to find out what's in it. We dump the bill at the last minute. After waiting to the last minute, we pass it really fast and then people move on. Well, not anymore, because we have X. It's not censored, and it moves at the speed of lightning within hours of this bill coming out. It had been torn apart, and the horror show within it was trending down the side of X. Elon Musk simply retweeted accounts that alone, and you look at accounts like Libs of TikTok and Cat Turd, DC Drano. I mean, one tweet from them retweeted by Elon Musk has a bigger audience than CNN in an entire month. That's pure, raw political power. But the Democrats couldn't say that as they were screeching like vampires singed by the light because democracy is supposedly what they want. So they blamed Elon Musk. Folks, Elon Musk himself didn't stop that bill. He's popular, but he's not that popular. I mean, Trump's probably equally popular, and Trump couldn't stop a bill like that. Not when the rhinos wanted it. No, what stopped it was all the phone calls flooding into Congress. And that was after people saw this stuff trending on X. And folks, this is a sea change. It forced them to strip more than 1,000 pages out of that initial bill. We did not have that power before X went uncensored. And what it means is the end of the pass it to find out what's in it era, which has made America broke, has made Americans so poor they can barely afford groceries, has made the middle class so poor through printing and inflation that they can no longer afford the American dream, which is the purchase of a new home. That is, if you hadn't owned one before the Biden era, you can't afford one now. All of that comes from the ram and jam process. Write a 1,500-page bill, drop it in the middle of the night, give people just a few hours to read it, ram it through, and then no, because of censorship, nobody's going to know what's in it or why they're so poor. That whole era is over. And look, there might have been an argument between Chip Roy and Donald Trump and Elon Musk and somebody killed somebody, but it doesn't matter. This is a sea change. If you want to know how rattled the corruptocrats are up there, take a listen to this. This is Democrat Representative Becca Blint about what she overheard Republicans saying in an elevator.
An elevator with some Republican members who are fuming about. I was literally moments ago in an elevator with some Republican members who are fuming about the fact that Musk is inserting himself into this conversation, and that the threats over Twitter, oh, I'm sorry, X, the threats over X, you know, to primary them, to come after them, you know, so privately, at least, they are they've had it. They've had it with people like Musk who think that they have the right to insert themselves into a process of elected officials. We've all been elected to represent our constituents, to try to represent them. He is not elected. I just want to remind everybody of that. He may be a very wealthy person, but he's been elected to nothing.
Oh my gosh, listen to the attitude on her. And she doesn't even see it. Constituents weighed in and that's a problem? Yeah, that's how they think. And their world has just been rearranged. This, folks, is going to change everything. It doesn't mean we're going to win every battle from here, you know, on forward, or that we aren't going to have to compromise in ways I don't like sometimes, because they stole so many seats. The Democrats did in California, Republican congressional seats, that we're really in a mess in terms of, you know, a very narrow majority. But still, this is going to change everything. And listen to this. The Democrats screaming because a billionaire has let regular people know what's going on? You mean the same Democrat Party that operates on George Soros money? George Soros picked candidates? That Democrat Party? And then calls it democracy, by the way. Listen to Elizabeth Warren. And I mean listen close here, because she gets this. When the Democrats scream bloody murder on Twitter, whining and crying, they didn't say Trump did this. Stop this bill. That was clearly their bill, right? I mean, Johnson, you know, just put his print on it of approval, but it was their bill. No, they don't even mention Trump. They mention Musk. Why? Because Trump is a deal maker, and he's in the habit of sometimes, maybe many times, letting them print what they want to get what he wants. And they recognize Trump can't even do that anymore. He can't move. He's boxed in. He's going to have to fight them on the fiscal issues. She gets this. Listen to what she said, because this is exactly the timeline this whole thing went down on, too.
And it really is the reminder who now runs the Republican Party, and it's Musk. He's the one who started tweeting at 4:30 this morning about what a bad deal this was and how terrible it was. And Donald Trump trails along much, much later and says, yeah, terrible deal.
By the way, the irony of this is that Johnson and the Democrats and the Republican leadership in the House clearly recognized that they needed to censor X. And nobody better to do that than the State Department's Global Engagement Center, which had been running around threatening big companies not to allow conservative media to profit through advertisement in any way, which meant that companies like Google had to limit their reach of their work so that no ads would run next to them. They basically used federal government to demonetize conservative media. It was a very effective form of censorship. In fact, ironically, Elon Musk was a victim of it. It's one of the reasons he's got massive hits, clicks, and likes on Twitter, X, but he's lost a lot of his advertisers because of this program run out of the State Department. Well, the State Department had sent a notice to Congress that after 7 years, the program was being discontinued. Its authorization had run out, but even worse, a judge in a lawsuit against the State Department had ruled they were illegally using the program. They didn't have authorization from Congress to censor misinformation with it or to specifically target conservatives. And the State Department said they were going to fold it up. That would have been a huge victory for us. And then you know what Mike Johnson did? He re-upped the funding for it and gave them, put in, and I'm sure the Democrats wrote it and Johnson just let him do it. He put in a thing that authorized them to censor misinformation, to go after entire media enterprises like Breitbart, Daily Caller, but also social media like X. Put it in the bill. I mean, I can't think of anything more evil. And folks, in a close election, that gave the Democrats the win. And that means the end of the Republic. Johnson didn't care. He let them put it in the bill. So what this shows you for the first time, and I don't want this to be missed, is that the true censorship of conservatives and Republicans happens because the GOP leadership in the House wants it to. And they got caught and chop blocked by the very same people they were trying to crush. Literally, again, folks, this could be the difference in us saving the Republic or not. The fact that we stopped this horror show. Now, pray Trump and Musk find a way to get rid of Johnson, because he will shank them so fast to work with the Democrats. I hope they see that. Finally, insane thing number one. Imagine this, 1,000-man-strong Al-Qaeda army already in the United States preparing for a massive attack in 2025. Coordinated, scheduled to last for days, till each one is dead. There's a simultaneous attack apparently planned in the UK. They've got a similar-sized army there. Do I have your attention? This came to my attention this week after the Federal Air Marshals Union, which represents the federal air marshals that fly on planes to keep us safe from terrorist hijacking, put out an urgent request to the TSA warning about the presence of this Al-Qaeda army in the country. No doubt it came right over Joe Biden's open border, and that they have a new kind of suicide vest that can go right through tracking and scanning equipment used by the TSA. And they were also upset that the TSA hadn't been warned that they're out there. Wait, how do we know they're out there? Well, there's a woman by the name of Sarah Adams. She's a former CIA targeting officer, author of Benghazi, Know Thy Enemy, and she serves as a senior advisor for the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on Benghazi. She's got a very long resume, but those are the highlights. Highly respected, went on a podcast this week and warned about the attack. Now, she oversees a nonprofit that develops their own intel. This is the intel that they have gotten out of the Middle East. They're trying to warn anybody who will listen. Anyway, she revealed this on the Sean Ryan podcast. I put together that went on for a couple of hours, and there's a whole bunch of reporting around it too. I put together what you need to know in a December 18th podcast. It is a must listen if you haven't already heard it. And it's called An Al-Qaeda Army Inside the U.S. Here's a teaser for it. This is what you need to know. Well, it's the tip of the iceberg anyway. For what she says and her team has developed is coming in 2025.
I just want to clarify. You are 100% certain that there are 1,000 plus Al-Qaeda trained fighters within the United States borders.
Well, Al-Qaeda says they trained and deployed 1,000 for this attack. First off, I think there's more than 1,000 Al-Qaeda members in the United States. But for the homeland attack, that number is based on what Al-Qaeda is saying, so they could exaggerate it. However, they did have about 1,400 in the Hamas attack, so the number is not off from what they did in the first round of attacks.
Is there any indication of what kind of attacks these are going to be? Actually, before we get into that, how old is this information?
I mean, it's ongoing. So the training's already done, right? So All the training info is now old because they trained all the homeland attackers, if that makes sense. So like next week, you're not going to get info of a homeland attacker probably at a terrorist camp because it's already done. So all this has been in the last year.
So it's been over a year. It's been a year.
Because this was a continuation. So they planned October 7th first, and then they rolled into planning this after.
Are we next or is Europe next?
I think the embassy attacks are next, in my opinion.
What are they waiting for the embassies?
I don't think they're waiting. I think it took time to train them. They've now approved them, and they've now moved into the operational stage.
What about the U.S.?
So the U.S.
To find out what else she said, you'll have to tune into the podcast. I've really cut it down for you so that you can get the essential data. And I've also included other information about where Al-Qaeda is training, who they're affiliated with now, who's funding it. Again, that's my December 18th podcast. Get it wherever you get this podcast. Have a very Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you again in the new year.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.